to In the Garden with Ed Byarski and me, your host, Oren. The Flower Farm helps support this program, and they've got their garden center open for the spring season, located behind Island Flowers on Main Street, with lots of blooming pansies, violas, hallebores, and more. Lots of shrubs ready to plant. They're open 10 to 5 Monday through Saturday. All right, and we've got Master Gardener Ed Byarski on the phone. He's up in Juneau. It is a beautiful day here. How are things going up there?
It is gorgeous up here, Aaron. It is beautiful. So, yeah, we're out here working in T-shirts and getting ready to plant some potatoes.
Yes.
In the garden.
Perfect. Excellent. Yeah, it is nice out here. It's going to be great all weekend, I think. This is a gardening weekend.
That's the rumors. Yeah, so there's going to be gardening on steroids this week. And, yeah, maybe we're going to have a little plant sale up here on Saturday, and hopefully we'll catch some people coming and going out the road who are interested in getting some primroses and other perennials. And I've got seed potatoes, certified seed potatoes also, to sell.
Cool. Oh, that's awesome. Well, before we get too launched into it, I'm going to invite anybody who's out there thinking about calling in or who wants to participate today to put a question to, they have an opportunity here while we're on the phone for the next 15 minutes or so to pose a question to the one and only Master Gardener Ed Byarski. If they want to call in, number to call is 772-3808. That's up to them. We've got plenty to talk about without them, because let's hear all about it. What happens when you plant potatoes? What do you do, Ed?
Well, I hope that the potatoes grow and give me a big harvest in the fall so I can eat them with, eat them with salmon and halibut and deer and moose and bear and whatever else comes along.
Mm-mm-mm.
That's the goal, at least.
So how do you like to go about it? I know you've got seed potatoes on hand right now. So what's your best practice for putting the potatoes in the ground?
Okay, so we have, getting good stock. That's really important. And whether folks are saving their own, which I do, save some of my own, my best small potatoes, usually from last year. Mm-hmm. And then also, we get the new certified seed potatoes. We are not wanting to grow just some of our sprouting potatoes that we bought at the grocery store for eating potatoes. First, they weren't certified. Those potatoes have not been inspected for some of the potato diseases, which we have an issue with, mm-hmm. in Alaska or, down south, whether they're coming from Washington, Idaho, California, any of those places. And in fact, unfortunately, our local retailers don't really know that they are not supposed to be selling even certified seed potatoes from Washington, Oregon, and California. Mm. And if you go to your retailer and they have a box and it has the blue tag, which is supposed to tell you the information, the variety of potato that it is, and where they come from, anyway, they are supposed to be from other states, because those three states at least are specifically excluded due to a few diseases that they have, which we do not have. So, ideally, and it's okay, you can order seed potatoes through the mail from other places, like from Colorado, from Maine, from Michigan, Wisconsin, and other places. North Dakota, mm-hmm. surprisingly, a lot of seed potatoes are grown in North Dakota. So it's worth, I just talked to one of the guys at one of our local grocery stores yesterday, mm-hmm. about that very thing. I looked at the tag and said, these are technically illegal in Alaska. The kind that he was selling, and he didn't have a clue. Didn't know that, didn't really care. It didn't really matter to him, one way or the other, which is kind of unfortunate. Well, more than kind of. Yes, definitely unfortunate.
Well, that's a shame. So if somebody wants...
Well, anyway, we have to do what we have to do. I mean, if you do, you may not have any choice, in Petersburg or in other places where folks are buying their seed potatoes.
Right.
Trying to order at this date it would be a challenge to get a rush order to come up from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we've got our, let's say we have our good seed potatoes already, and I'm just pulling some out of the bags in the back of my truck that I've been hauling around for a week because I haven't had a chance even to unload them, to take them, to unload them into my greenhouse here where I'll be selling some this weekend.
Mm.
So anyway, that's the plan, to have some, and ideally, if we have some of these good seed potatoes, and I would like to have, I would like to have warmed them up, say over the last couple, 2-3 weeks, so that they start to sprout, so that they start to have sprouts on them that are, oh, half an inch to an inch long.
Okay.
Now these I'm pulling out of my truck. They came down, these are Alaskan seed potatoes, they came down from up north, from the Matanuska Valley, up near Palmer.
Mm.
And they were in cold storage up there. So I'm looking at least these two I'm handling, and they don't have but little tiny sprouts.
Gotcha.
Which is okay, because I'm going to, once I'm done with my planting, and I'll just carefully, you know, partially cover them up. I will also then put clear plastic over the top, which will serve as kind of a little mini greenhouse, and then will also help keep them warmer, and they will sprout more quickly.
Gotcha. So as far as seed potatoes, what you do and what you know, seed potatoes that you'd buy, they're kept. How cold are they kept over the winter? Not frozen, just in a.
Well, normally, I mean, you know, like my root cellar or anybody else's root cellar, they're just kept, ideally, just about freezing.
Right.
Potatoes have starches and sugars in them, so they can tolerate maybe down to 29 or 30 degrees, but we don't like to get them down that far. Because if they freeze, they die.
Yeah, there's water in there, too. Yeah.
And there is really nothing worse, not much worse, than a rotten potato.
Yeah.
I mean, it is really, really disgusting. So we want to avoid having that issue. So, yeah, they're stored normally, you know, low 30s, basically 36 degrees or below. My root cellar, I can't really control it that well, but it is insulated, and it's kind of dug down into my garage floor underneath some stairs that we built this deliberately when we built the garage.
Yeah.
So it goes down, it's 3 feet down below grade, and insulated around the edges, and I can open things up if I have to. I've got a wood stove in my garage, so I don't let it freeze again in the wintertime, too. So, again, yeah, how the potatoes are stored and then warming them up before we plant them.
Yeah,
it's pretty important.
What's your favorite way to warm up your potatoes?
Oh, just bring them out into the house, into the room, you know, and put them, whether you have them in paper bags or boxes or something like that. So you bring them up to room temperature, and that will help stimulate their sprouting.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the variety of potato, some will sprout more quickly than others. So some, you know, like when I pull mine out of my root cellar, some of them will have maybe just quarter-inch sprout. They're very slow to sprout. Some of them, and this tends to be what are called early potatoes, will want to sprout more quickly and will have larger, longer sprouts on them.
Mm.
So, again, it's a function of variety very often.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now that they're warmed up and you're ready to plant them, I know that there's a variety of ways that people in Southeast can plant their potatoes, right?
Oh, all sorts. Yeah, I mean, you can certainly plant them in containers. I don't really recommend planting them in tires, partly because there are chemicals that leach out of tires that we don't want to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Here. I mean, there's some folks, historically, potatoes were planted on various islands just above the high tide line, where they were then covered, you know, basically in the salt and gravel, or sand and gravel.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're covered up with the beach grass and seaweed.
Right.
And so springtime, folks would go out there and plant their potatoes, and they just pretty much leave, you know, go off to fish camp or go out fishing and doing all the other stuff you need to do. And then they would come back in the fall and harvest their potatoes. So pretty low, well, definitely low-tech kind of stuff.
Mm.
We're putting a lot more time and effort into it here, I suppose partly because we can, and partly because that can help improve the odds for a bigger harvest.
Mm-hmm. So how do you do it?
So mine, in this case, so at least here, I've grown them in open ground, open flat ground, where I'm doing digging trenches, for a while we were even commercial up in Haines, though that project has ended. So open ground and eventually making mounds. In this case, we're looking at a 4x16 foot mound, box I should say, made out of 2x12 rough lumber. My young helper has dug two nice trenches down about 6 to 8 inches, into which I am now sprinkling some fertilizer into the trench, and then he's going to come along behind the fertilizer spreading and use the scratcher that I provided for him over there that he left the tines up on it, which is not what you're supposed to do. It's a hazardous thing. Remember, point the tines down on the rakes and scratchers and that sort of thing. So then he will scratch the soil, scratch up the fertilizer here in the bottom of this trench, and then I'll come along and I'll be cutting these potatoes into suitable size pieces to plant.
Mm-hmm. And what do you consider a suitable size piece?
Okay, so I'm looking at the ones I have here, and these are some of the commercial ones. So these are, the one is called Magic Molly. It's a purple one. They're big. These are commercial size potatoes. They're technically maybe sort of a fingerling, but these are half-pound potatoes. And they're 5 inches long, they're 2 inches across. So, and these, when you get fingerlings and others, you can get more pieces just because they usually have more eyes than a standard round potato. Mm. So the round potato that I'm working on are slightly oblong. It's called Caribe, C-A-R-I-B-E. Kind of a lavender skin, cream-colored flesh, grows big potatoes. And again, these are a pretty good size one. Some of these are from large egg size, which I will cut into probably 2 pieces. And then there's some even bigger ones that I'll probably cut into 3 or 4 pieces. And I can figure that with standard potatoes, not fingerlings, I can get usually 10 or so pieces per pound of seed potatoes, assuming, again, that there's at least one eye, one sprout, maybe two, on each piece.
So how much of the flesh of the potato do you want to leave with the sprout?
Well, I mean, if I'm cutting the potato, it's going to be cutting it in quarters or thirds or smaller chunks. So I'm going to end up with a piece that maybe the ones I would like to, ideally, it's particularly if I'm saving my own, usually those I will save the little ones down to a little bigger than a marble, but smaller, you know, up to ping pong ball size and egg size. And that's a perfect size.
Cool.
And then those get planted whole.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't cut those at all. I don't worry. Some instructions will say after you cut them, then you should dust them with sulfur or wood ashes or sawdust or something. Mm-hmm. Leave them dry for a few days and then plant them. And I don't worry about that. Mm-hmm. I just go right ahead and I cut them and put them into the trenches. I try to plant them so that the eye is facing up. Now, if I've got a really long sprout, and I've planted sometimes, I'll have a 3 or 4 inch long sprout, or even longer, depending on how early or late I'm planting, and how warm it's been, and all that sort of thing, and variety. Then, if I've got a really long sprout, I'll carefully leave that sprout attached, but I'll lay the potato down more so that the sprout is kind of diagonally in the soil. But again, just barely cover it. And then from the sides of that sprout, roots and sprouts will grow, which then result in more potatoes. And later on, you know, we'll remind people probably, say, 3 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now, it's probably time, if you planted your potatoes back in the first week of May, 3 weeks later they should be up and growing, and it's time to hill them. It's time to put some more soil on them around the sprouts, around the new growth, say if they're 3 inches tall, and then just leave the tip of them exposed still to keep growing. and we may come back and do that one more time, killing them up. And again, that will result in more of these side shoots that come off the main stem and then grow new potatoes. So the thing to remember, we can start with very shallow soil. You could start, you know, if you were bending your driveway, you could put 2 inches of soil on your driveway, a little bit of fertilizer, plant potatoes on there, and then gradually fill up with 6, 8 to 12 inches of soil over the course of a couple months in the, you know, and now you've got a garden on your driveway.
Right.
And potatoes growing on it.
Uh-huh.
And same thing if you're growing in large pots. You know, you just put a couple inches in the bottom of the pot to plant in there, and then as they grow up, you fill up the pot. You aren't planting. You don't want to plant a foot deep, even though by the end of the season, the piece you planted is a foot deep, you know, but you gradually filled it up as it grew up. Because if you planted a foot deep now, that soil that's a foot deep is very cold and usually very wet.
Ah.
And that means that the potatoes will grow just that much more slowly.
Mm-hmm.
So we want them to grow fast, and, you know, 90 to 120 days from now, we will, I hope, be eating potatoes.
Yeah.
90 days, we should be eating new potatoes, most likely. So planting now, let's see, this is, what is today, May 4th?
Yeah.
So June, July, by mid-July, you should be able to sneak a few potatoes out from underneath the big plants that you should have, even while you leave the rest of it there.
Cool. And so the number of times that you would hill your plant, is that just kind of depending on how fast it's growing upward, or do you kind of control
that?
In
a place like Southeast Alaska, where we have pretty cool, cool soil, cool conditions, versus a place that has warmer, longer season, you could probably hill your potatoes more times in those in the warmer areas. And the advantage of that is also you're kind of keeping the potatoes growing in a cooler, in cooler soil, essentially.
Right.
Take compared to a place like California where, you know, even the soil gets hot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, the soil probably gets up to 80 degrees. Although having the shade, you know, assuming your potatoes are completely grown over, they kind of shade the soil. So
right.
They help keep it a little cooler that way, too.
Hmm. Yeah. Am I crazy in thinking, like, the warmer it is, the, like, worse tasting the potatoes are going to be?
Somewhat. I mean, that's maybe an interesting experiment to do, but certainly, I think about carrots, which are grown in cooler conditions, taste a lot better, sweeter, and they even talk about waiting, you know, like waiting till after the first frost to harvest carrots or kale or some other things, too, sometimes. And you really do notice a difference. Cool weather can result in some better sugars, in some ways, better flavor for us. That doesn't necessarily apply to fruit. You know, certainly more heat and more sun can result in more sugar, more carbohydrate, more sugars. Abby, back off. My little dog loves potatoes. So I just cut a potato, and she is reaching for the cut potato. She will care. So when I'm harvesting in the fall, I'll give her a little piece to take, and so she can have her own piece of potato. Here you go, Abby. Here. Here you go, Abby. Right, throwing my cell phone around, too. Abby, come here.
Right, you probably...
There we go. And here she goes off to eat her potato in peace.
Good.
While I can plant mine.
That's good stuff. But you probably don't want to, like, let her know, this is where the potatoes are buried, Abby.
She hasn't dug them up yet. I mean, she's a small dog.
Yeah.
But she does follow me. When I'm digging potatoes, she'll be right there, and so I'll toss her a potato after I get, you know, a small one or something like that to keep her happy and away from me. Although you don't want them to eat too many either. Cooked isn't bad. I understand raw potatoes are not the best thing for dogs, so I won't let her have too many, but it is a treat. And, you know, she is enjoying it, lying in the sun here on the driveway.
Oh, yeah. Well, before we call it an episode, are there any like common mistakes that people make when they're doing potatoes that they should kind of be sure to avoid?
Okay. So, well, one of the things I mentioned is don't plant them too deep at the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, plant them just barely shallow and cover with the plastic and then uncover as they grow. You don't want to use in the beds. Well, one thing, you want to rotate your crops. You want to plant potatoes in a different box each year. So I try to go for a 3-year rotation between crops. I'll usually mix one of my rotations is normally garlic, because I grow a lot of garlic. And so this bed that I am planting them in now had garlic in it last year.
Ooh.
And after I harvested the garlic, I planted cover crop, chopped that up, and then I threw seaweed on top of that when I mixed in the cover crop. And so next year it is likely to have carrots or cabbages or lettuce or Swiss chard or something else in it.
Right.
Again, and then the year after that, we'll probably come back to garlic and do potatoes again after that.
So
rotating crops.
Yeah.
Look at the potatoes you use. Yeah, please use certified seed potatoes or good clean ones from your own storage.
Mm-hmm.
That is saved of your own.
Mm-hmm.
And practice if you're... So you see you're peeling potatoes and cooking potatoes, but we don't normally compost, well, potato peelings, again, especially if they're commercial stuff, so we don't put potential contaminated potato peels and diseases into our compost, which may not get killed off because we don't have hot compost.
Right.
So, and same thing with the potato vines. Pull those off when you go to harvest and burn them or haul them off to the dump.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of those. I mean, cleanliness and all this stuff
right.
is very important. So that's, I mean, a few of the tips. And also, don't use fresh manure in a potato bed.
Mm.
So if you've got manure, whether it be horse or cow or goat or chicken or rabbit or something like that, and want to use it in your garden, that's fine. But don't plant potatoes or other root crops over the top of that. Better let it work. Plant a leafy crop, cabbages and cauliflower, broccoli, lettuce, Swiss chard, that kind of stuff, over the fairly fresh manure.
Right.
And then the next year, you can do the garlic or the potatoes or carrots or something like that.
Right, yep.
Because that can help encourage the scab organism to grow, and which will then attack some potatoes. Okay. Some varieties are immune to it. Some varieties get scab very badly, unfortunately. So, and you kind of learn that by growing them. There is some research that tells you which ones are more resistant, but and some are a lot better than others.
Right. Well, those are good tips, good how-tos, good what not to do's, and maybe we'll leave it there for today. I'll let you get back to it. You've got potatoes to plant, sunshine to enjoy, abbeys to shoo away.
Right. We're going to finish this bed, and then we're going to go on to moving plants around, getting ready for a plant sale, and
cool.
just enjoying this incredible sunshine.
Sounds
the garlic
great.
Is 8 inches to a foot tall here.
All
Lots
right.
of primroses blooming. Life is good.
That sounds good. Cool. Well, let's talk next week.
All right. Will do, Aaron.
Okay. Thanks so much, Ed.
Yep. Bye.
Bye-bye. This has been In the Garden with Master Gardener Ed Byarski and myself. Hope you enjoyed, and thank you to the Flower Farm for their support of this program. Their garden store is open in the spring season behind Island Flowers on Main Street. They've got lots of great stuff, flowers, hanging baskets, shrubs ready to plant. They're open 10 to 5 Monday through Saturday, the Flower Farm's garden store. Homegrown tomatoes, what'll I be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes. Well, you can go out to eat, and that's for sure, but it's nothing a homegrown tomato won't cure. Put them in a salad, put them in a stew. You can make your very own tomato juice. You can eat them with eggs, you can eat them with gravy.
Eat them with beans, pinto or navy. Put them on the side, put them in the middle. Put a homegrown tomato on a hot cake griddle.
Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What will life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes. Tomato seed, 'cause I know what this country needs. It's homegrown tomatoes in every yard you see. When I die, don't bury me in a box in a cemetery. Out in the garden be much better, and I could be pushing up homegrown tomatoes.
Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'll life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes.